our spiritual family has a lot of unique, special people in it. That God, let's say, has given us all different talents and different walks of life and skills. And it's amazing. We are all alike in so many ways, but yet we are each individually so different. And it's like a fingerprint. Each one is different. And God's really made us that way. And when we come together, there's such a powerful thing that happened. And I'm sure all of our angels are just excited and they're very, very pleased when we all get together. And brings us to our speaker tonight. Our speaker is a very wonderful person. And I'll tell you what, when she speaks, she gives you humor. She'll take you laughing and funny, and she'll help you forget about your problems. And she'll take you to a depth that you're going to want to cry, and you're going to want to think. And I guarantee you're going to be challenged, because I know every time our Lindy talks, she will really send a message. So I'm looking forward to what she's got to say tonight. Please welcome our Lindy.
Thank you. Just for the record, I know I will cough, and it's okay. The last three times I've spoken in church, Millie had surgery. And I would like to state for the record publicly that next time I'm going to tell her if she doesn't want to hear me, all she has to do is stay home. Surgery is not required. We'll see. Hopefully she'll take me up on it, because there won't be a surgery she'll ever need to have again. Amen. Tonight, I wanted to give a talk that didn't take very much preparation. So I decided that I would share with you some stories that I've shared with you before, but not in this grouping, not in this context, not in this shape. And I put a set of information around these stories that I call Lindy's Laws of Life. Because if I could do everything that these stories teach me to do, then I would be walking with God on a daily basis. And hopefully you'll see what I mean as I share the story. The first one is by special request. Andrea asked me, I think it was you, to tell the strawberry story. But you never heard the strawberry story, so it couldn't have been you. Someone that is in this church and has been in this church for a long time heard the strawberry story, because that was the first talk I ever gave at the Forum, which would have been about 1993, I think. And anyway, the story goes like this. A young priest was running because he was being chased by bears. And he ran and he ran, and the bears were catching up. And he came to a cliff, and he didn't have anywhere to go but over it. And so he jumped. And as he jumped, he saw there was a growing plant, a vine, on the cliff. And he was able to grab a hold of the vine, and it was lucky for him that he did, because he looked down and he saw that there were tigers at the bottom of the cliff scrambling up to catch him and eat him, as the bears were at the top of the cliff. And in that moment, he noticed that the vine that he was clinging to was a strawberry vine, and on it was one perfect berry. And he picked it, and he ate it, and it was delicious. The point, of course, is that we are usually running so hard to escape the bears of the past and to avoid the tigers of the future that we miss the moment we're in. If we can learn to take the moment, be here now, if you will, then how much richer our life can be. How much more joy can we squeeze from those strawberries that we didn't even notice, or if we did notice them, we forgot to pick, or if we picked them, we neglected to savor their juicy sweetness. Savor the moment. Taste the strawberry. Be here now. Rule number one of Lindy's Laws of Life. Another one of my favorite stories is a story that I learned when I was about 12 years old. And I read it in a book somewhere, and I don't even remember what book, but it was such an impactful story that I wrote it down and saved it, knowing that someday I would use it in a talk or in a writing of my own. And I've had occasion to tell this story a couple of times in this church. But it's a story about a young boy named David. And David lived high on the hill overlooking a valley. And every morning, David would look out his window across the valley, and he would see the golden windows on the houses on the other side of the valley. And David wasn't an especially unhappy child, but he didn't have an especially happy life either. And he thought, oh, if I could only live in those houses with the golden windows, I would be so much happier. So one morning, David, who was about 10, I guess, set out down the hill, across the valley, and up the other side. And because he was quite a young man, and because it was such a large valley, it took him all day. He left in the morning when he could see the golden windows in the distance, and by the time he got there, it was late afternoon. And of course, as he arrived, he looked at the windows of the houses that he saw right in front of him, and they were not golden from that close range. He was terribly disappointed, and he turned to begin his journey home and noticed that in the afternoon sun, his house had golden windows. Now, clearly, this is a grass is kind of greener story. The golden windows are, their windows are not more greener than my windows. I mean, more golden, you know. I get confused. The grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. The grass is greener where we water it. If we can understand that there is no better than here, then we can live here joyfully. We can accept what our lot in life is and not complain and whine and bemoan it. Of course, I'm very good at bemoaning and whining and complaining, so it's one of the skills that I like to reinforce. But I'm not a happy person when I act that way, because I think that when I'm not on this project that's making me crazy, I'll be happier than when I am on it. But the fact is, I am on it. I'm working very hard. It's an opportunity for me to change my perception, to understand that there is no better than here, and to be here now. You see how many threads of life build on each other. Be here now. Be here now because there is no better than here. Marcus told a story a few years ago at a party. And I said, Marcus, can I use that one? And he said, sure, sure, whatever. You know, he was just telling of an experience that he had going to the merry-go-round at Balboa Park. I guess they probably call it a carousel, technical term for a merry-go-round. But if you haven't been on the merry-go-round at Balboa Park, the one that's kind of outside of the zoo there, you don't know maybe that merry-go-round has a feature very common in older merry-go-rounds, but less common today, where you go up and down, and you go up and down, and you go up and down. As you go around, there's a place that spits out these rings. And if you are tall enough, you can reach out and grab the ring. And that's where the expression, catching the brass ring, comes from. Now, Marcus's story was that he and, I think it was one of Millie's grandsons, probably Little Joe, were riding the merry-go-round, and the boy in front of them would reach up and pretend to grab the ring, but he wouldn't grab it. So Marcus and Joe would reach up and grab the ring. And they had 4 or 5 of them in their possession before their ride was over. And then the bell rang, and they went around again, and the boy in front of them grabbed the gold ring. And they had another brass ring. And the boy who got the gold ring got a free ride on the carousel. And Marcus was telling the story as if he were disappointed that he didn't understand the rules, because he would have waited to grab only the gold ring. But Living Law of Life says, enjoy the journey. How much fun did Marcus and Joe have grabbing those brass rings before they knew they were supposed to be waiting for the gold one? How many times do we think, oh, this is wonderful, this is fantastic, and then somebody else comes along and tells us what we should have been waiting for, and we think, oh, that wasn't fun, that wasn't fantastic, I must have been mistaken because I was supposed to be doing this instead. How much pleasure can we get out of those brass rings if we don't pretend that we're waiting for the gold one? And even if the gold one comes along, can it diminish the pleasure that we've already had by the brass rings we've collected? I think not. Only if we let it. Only if we're looking at life as a destination rather than a journey. The gold ring is the destination. The brass rings along the way are the wonderful pleasures we can experience along the way. Enjoy the journey. That's a little David crossing the valley. With any luck at all, he enjoyed walking across the valley, only to learn his lesson that there is no better than here. Because it was a journey. It was a journey of growth and a journey of life. And we each take those kinds of journeys every day. One of my other favorite stories is very, very short. So let me set it up before I tell it. The law of life that this applies to is that things are not always as they seem. We look upon something, and perhaps I can even relate this to the parasol story. We look on the brass rings and think they are the gold, and it turns out it's the gold ring. But then we look at the gold ring and think that it's the goal, and as I've explained, the goal is both, all of the above, or neither. We can't always know what life will bring us, because things are not always as they seem. Here's the story. Everyone thinks 2 plus 2 equals 4. Not always. 2 raindrops plus 2 raindrops equals a puddle. Things are not always as they seem. 2 and 2 doesn't always add up to 4. 2 people plus 2 people equals a party. Things are not always as they seem. 2 and 2 doesn't always add up to 4. I shared a couple of years ago one of my favorite children's books called Paddle to the Sea. And some of you might have heard that story. The general story of Paddle to the Sea is a young boy up in northern Canada, north of the Great Lakes, carves an Indian in a canoe out of a tree log. And in the spring, he puts it at the creek head, riverhead, and it flows down with the snowmelt into the Great Lakes. And Paddle to the Sea is the name of the canoe and the Indian. And as Paddle to the Sea has adventures, he gets washed up ashore, goes to a sawmill and has to be rescued by one of the sawmill operators, and he gets caught on the back of a ferry boat and gets transported that way. But on the bottom of this boat that the young Indian boy carved, one of the adventure partakers who found the boat and recognized what it was trying to do, put a brass plaque on the bottom and said, "Please put me back in water, for I am paddled to the sea." And the point of this story that I made then and that I make now is that we can't do life alone. We need those fellow adventurers to put us back in the water, metaphorically, because we are all paddling to the sea of God, and we can't get there on our own. We can't live life in solitary confinement and survive it. So each one of us needs the people around us to put us back in the water occasionally and help us paddle to the sea. Now, I know we've all had an experience of both being the paddle to the sea and of being the fellow adventurer, where we've lent a hand in need to a friend, or where we've accepted a hand lent by a friend when we were in need. I could probably talk a whole evening on just stories of that nature. But I know that each one of you here can come up with one of both kinds. We can't live life alone. Lindy's Law of Life. Oh, yeah. This story never ceases to touch me because it happened to me, and it was very meaningful to me at the time, and still is for undisclosed reasons, I guess. I don't understand why it touches me so deeply. But again, the story is quite a brief one. I was taking a seminar called Creative Personal Interaction back in the late 80s. And the homework for this seminar was to go out and have creative personal interactions with three different people and to share a meal with one of them. Now, I'm pretty shy by nature. Now, you may not believe that, but it's true. I'm shy by nature. And the idea of connecting creative personal interaction with a stranger and sharing a meal with one of them was horrifying to me until I came up with a strategy. Now, as we came back from this experience, people reported that they met somebody on a street corner that they'd never seen before and got invited to their home for lunch, and, you know, the people that they would pick them up, cook them lunch, and that was not my style at all, and I'm not even sure I believe some of those stories. But the strategy that I used to share a meal with someone that was a stranger was I found a restaurant that was cafeteria style, and all the tables were full. So I had to go up to someone and say, "May I share your table?" And they couldn't say anything but yes, because that was the kind of place it was. Okay? So I had an image of what a creative personal interaction would be, and I was able to manifest something that fit my image. But when I went to the restroom after sharing this lunch with this stranger, I went into the restroom, and as I went in, an approximately eight-year-old girl and her mother were having a little bit of a difference of opinion, let's say. Essentially what was happening was the mother was ragging on the daughter for no reason that was obvious to me, but it seemed kind of over the top. And the young girl and I made eye contact in that moment. And that was a truly creative personal interaction that lasted about 3 seconds. As long as I would look at you, or you, or you, and kind of go, "Gosh, I'm sorry." And it was over. But what I learned, forgive me, what I learned in that moment, those 3 seconds, was that we are really diminished by our expectations. Because my expectations of what a creative personal interaction would look like were nothing like 3 seconds of eye contact with a complete stranger, an 8-year-old girl. I thought I had to, you know, shake hands, introduce myself, tell my life story, hear theirs, whatever. But expectations are limiting. That's Lindy's Law of Limiting Expectation. Because what we believe is what we see. And if we can't open ourselves up to something that we don't know or don't understand, then we can never experience beyond the level of our own expectations. So, joyfully, we can say, "I don't know what's coming, but I'm open to whatever it is, and Spirit will bring us exactly what we need to receive." Don't limit our expectations, because by doing so, we limit our experience. And finally, it's not exactly a story, it's just a law of life, and that is that we have to be able to see yes. Now, yes is a word, I know, and you can't really see it except as much as it's written on a page. But what I mean by that is the complete experience of looking at a situation or a circumstance or an event or a feeling and saying and seeing yes. You know, I see Michael and Andrea over here cuddling, quite frankly, in the third row, and I think that's wonderful. And I see, yes, I see Doris and Jerry over here in the third row cuddling, and I think that's wonderful. I especially think that's wonderful because we're more contemporaries, you know, and I see yes. But you can see yes in everything you look at if you look at it with God's eyes. Each one of you should be able to look in the mirror and see yes. And please do it. Even if you don't believe it in the moment, look in the mirror and see yes. Each one of you I know can look at a beautiful sunset or sunrise. God forbid we should look at sunrises, but sunset. Babies. Hugway victory. Yes! You can't name anything that God didn't create that isn't beautiful if you can look at it through God's eyes. So, the last of Rumi's laws of life is to see yes in everything around us. Let me recap briefly. Be here now. Taste the moment. There is no better than here. Life is a journey. Enjoy the journey. Things are not always as they seem. We can't do it alone. We need each other. Expectations are limiting. And yes is there to be seen. See it. Thank you for giving me this talk.
Thank you, Wendy.
Wendy is phenomenal as usual.
Isn't she?
She's
got a depth to her, I tell you what. It just makes you think. So thank you for painting that picture. That's good stuff to remember. Boy. I'd like to get those sometime. Yeah, if you ever would print those out, I think they'd be wonderful to have.
Yeah, me too.
I think a lot of people would like those.